should be in the Oscars goodie bag.
Yes. Like, but, duh.
Like, it's the perfect.
Created by an Oscar winner.
Exactly. Like, the whole goodie bag should be sponsored by Goop. Oh my God, can you imagine? Everybody, and welcome back to Put the Lotion in the Basket. I'm Patrick.
I'm Anna.
And I just feel like we have a lot to get through
today. We have so much to cover today. It's a full agenda.
Yeah, I mean, you've been doing your investigative journalistic reporting and
yes,
research.
Yes, indeed.
But before we get to that, let's just talk about the fact that it is the biggest night in entertainment tonight. It is Oscars night.
Yes, we are recording this on Oscar Sunday.
Yes, so the 25 nominees in the top five categories will have been gifted the kind of legendary Oscars goodie bag. It's a bag that changes lives, you know? Forget any party you've ever been to or any kind of award ceremony where they give things away. This one is the one. $200,000 rumored value. And, you know, obviously it's full of everything from holidays to holistic wellness retreats, all that kind of stuff. We don't really care about that. You and I care about the skincare that's in the bag.
Yes.
Right?
We care very much.
So I did a bit of a deep dive. I looked up the skincare that's in the goodie bags. And first up, I have to say, and I felt a bit guilty at first, I hadn't heard of a single one of these brands before.
Wow.
And I started to question my credentials as a skincare podcaster. You know, I was like, I should know what these products are. So then I did a bit of research and I Googled each one of these products to see how much they cost. With the exception of a couple, I was deeply disappointed.
Really? So it is not the creme de la creme of products in the Oscars gift bag.
Here's what
That's
I want.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Look, here's what I want as a minimum in my Oscar goodie bag. I want a La Mer goodie bag in the goodie bag. Do you know, I want $3,000 to $5,000 worth of La Mer.
Yes.
So that's probably like three or four products. Like that's a give. And then
I want
La Prairie. Mm-hmm. I want the thing. I want eye-wateringly expensive.
Yes. Barbara Sturm.
Yes. Barbara
right?
Sturm.
Right. Like that level. Like that, the $500
yeah,
serums.
$500 minimum.
Yes.
So let's just whiz through some of these and you can tell me if you've heard of any of these. Adonis Arcana.
No, never heard of it.
Okay, so that was a gift set. That's $220. Hmm. No. Danusera?
No. I don't think so. Unless was one of Usher's products that he used when we did the Usher skin run through?
It does ring a bell.
After the Super Bowl, I think we ran through his skincare routine and I feel like maybe he used one of their products. That's the only other reference I've ever heard to this brand.
Yeah, but okay, and that's the balm that's in the bag retails at $55.
The balm, yes, that's Usher. That was in his skincare routine, so that's something.
It's something, but still.
Yeah.
Goodall vitamin C serum.
Goodall?
Goodall.
What?
I googled it. Guess where it took me?
Where?
To Amazon.
No.
$20.
What?
For a vitamin... SkinCeuticals.
I mean...
Where are you?
Seriously?
You're not in this bag.
What?
Hotsy Totsy.
What?
Divine Glow Kit. I looked it up. It was two drag queens. It's $55. Now, I've got nothing against drag queens. I've been known to put a wig on in my time. But I don't want to see that kind of thing in an Oscars goodie bag. And it's not just... The people that get these goodie bags, it's the nominees. It's not everyone that goes to the thing. It's just the nominees. It's the smallest group of the creme de la creme elite of the entertainment industry.
Wow.
And they're getting Hotsy Totsy.
I mean,
it sounds like a made up name for kids.
And what's in the glow kit?
I didn't. I had to move
that's
on.
Too, yeah,
I
that's
just
too
saw
granular.
The price and I'm
Fair
like,
enough.
I don't want to know
it.
What's in the glow kit. Nothing I'm putting
know.
On my face, I can tell you. Okay, and I don't want to do the Oscars goodie bag dirty entirely. There was, or there is allegedly, a microneedling treatment voucher from Potenza. Again, hadn't heard of them, but that doesn't mean that it's not good. $1,500 per treatment.
Okay,
now you're talking.
Now that seems a little more Oscar caliber.
That's Oscar caliber, but again, that's a jumping off point for me. I want a facelift voucher.
Yes.
You know, I want like a Beverly Hills 50 grand voucher for a treatment at a top clinic. And I'm talking scalpel.
Yes.
You know, I'm not talking microneedling. So anyway, I've just got to say, from a skincare perspective, now I know there's other stuff in there, like I say, holidays, retreats, I think maybe even a car. Great. That's all great. But the skincare side of things, in an industry that is worth billions of dollars, I just was really disappointed. To the point where if I was nominated, yeah, I'd just be really
upset. I'd be bummed. I mean, I suppose there's a couple of dynamics going on here that add a little nuance. Like, I mean, these celebrities, anyone who's nominated for one of these awards probably has already the top surgeon or the top dermatologist
yes.
on speed dial, right?
Yeah, it's
so
true.
They're probably giving this stuff to their assistants anyway or whoever.
So true.
And
lucky
then,
assistants.
Right? Oh, seriously.
Can you imagine?
And then also, as a brand, I don't know this world at all, like this marketing world, but there's probably a whole ecosystem of PR around trying to get your product into one of these goodie bags. And maybe for the super prestige brands like the Barbara Strums of the world, like maybe they don't need the Oscars goodie bag, and maybe it kind of cheapens their brand. Like,
yeah.
Whereas these other kind of Striver type brands, probably it adds to their cred to be in one of these things, giving away freebies to celebrities.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. There's something to be said about being lumped in with a group of other people when you're that elite and that kind of expensive. The last thing you want is to be sharing the a podium with any other kind of brand.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, I've worked in television for many years, and I worked in daytime TV where we would do skincare, you know, skincare demos and things that are on the market. And I would phone up places, and most of them would be like, yeah, of course, we'll send you some samples, which was great because we would do them on the show, then I would take them home. But there was always a couple of brands. I always remember it was like Aesop.
Oh, you know, yes. Mm-hmm.
They were like, they would send these withering emails going, thank you so much for your interest. We won't be participating in this particular project.
Ugh.
And I'm like, screw
Burn.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw you. I mean, I absolutely love Aesop. But, you know, so yeah I get it. So for some brands, it's not a good idea. But come on, it is the Oscars.
It is the Oscars. I mean, I think for the brands, the calculus is less like, oh, you know, the celebrities will use our products than it's more aimed at people like us, these people that hear, oh, this was in the Oscars gift bag. And then we, you know, they're counting on us going on Amazon and buying Hotsy Totsy or whatever, thinking that celebrities use it.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe that's the thought process.
When in fact, they're just throwing
it
in the trash or giving it to their assistants.
Yeah. It's just the whole thing sounds a little bit like an afterthought. Like
totally.
whoever was tasked with filling the Oscars goodie bag. My goodness,
can you imagine that job? That probably takes all year. That is probably someone's full-time job.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's called I've got it here. It's called the Everyone Wins bag. And it was created by Lash Fairy, founder of LA-based marketing firm Distinctive Assets.
Huh.
Well, I've got to say, Lash, there wasn't much distinctive about the skincare picks for the bag, I haven't investigated the rest of the stuff. So I'm sure you're very good at what you do, but I just wanted to see some La Mer in that bag. That's all.
Seriously.
And maybe you did. Maybe they did too. And La Mer
maybe
were like,
they did
no.
too. And they sent them one of those withering emails.
I could just imagine La Mer just
sorry.
Going, no, I'm sorry.
We won't be participating in this.
Yeah. So anyway, very much looking forward to watching the Oscars tonight, this afternoon. And I feel like we've given enough time to this goodie bag. So why don't we move on and talk about some other stuff?
Yes, I have some updates from last week. So I had a few homework assignments from last week, and I've had partial success in completing them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one is SoulCeuticals. I have right here. I'm picking this.
Yes.
I did get this mask from SoulCeuticals. You know, I'd ordered it hoping to get it by last week's taping, but it hadn't arrived yet. So
we were talking about this brand. We've talked about it for a couple of weeks now.
This is the quote-unquote Korean skincare brand that is really an American company that's based in Florida, and we had a whole deep dive into their claim of being a Korean skincare brand. But in the interest of fairness, we then also ordered some of their products to try and just try to judge on their merits. You have been happy with the vitamin C serum.
I have. I've been using it every morning, and what did you say when I opened the door to you this morning?
Your skin looks good. It does.
Thank you.
It looks noticeably brighter and...
Yeah, yeah. I'm also using lots of new products, including the actual Korean skincare that our wonderful former guest Sam gifted me. But also, I am really, really loving the vitamin C serum from Solseuticals. So what did you get?
Well, I think it's doing you good. Now, I got a mask. It is this snail mucin and turmeric anti-aging mask.
Right.
So I will say, so I got this when I first received it. It's been a little bit of a saga. So I ordered it. I actually, the original package I got, it had busted open.
I just mm-hmm. want to see what oh, it yeah, looks open like it up. Inside.
It had busted open. So I, but I emailed them, and I will say I was very impressed with their professionalism. I sent them a picture of the busted open package and just said, I ordered this mask and it came like all broken and they quickly like expressed me a replacement. So, okay. Good on them. Yeah.
No, and I've got to say my whole buying experience felt very, kind of detailed and measured. They were texting me when things were being shipped. They were doing all of that stuff.
Yeah. I give them an A+ for customer service.
Yeah.
But...
Okay, so what about the product?
Well, I will preface this by saying I do have a high bar for masks because I like the experience of using a mask. I think it's rare that a mask, a one-time, you know, use of a mask is going to really show any lasting improvement in your skin. Mm-hmm. For that reason, I'm kind of partial to the ones that are made to like suck debris out of your pores and get rid of blackheads because I feel like there is some immediate payoff if those masks are good.
Yeah.
And this is not that kind of mask. So snail mucin and turmeric anti-aging mask, it has the texture of like a very thick moisturizer and it doesn't dry on your face.
I love a drying mask.
I do too, because you feel like it's doing something.
Yes.
So this says youthful glow formula. It's creamy. It doesn't dry. You put it on. It says to put it on clean, dry or wet. Oh no, not wet skin. Clean, dry skin. You leave it on for 20 minutes and then you just rinse it off. I tried to make a little experience out of it. I put it on. I took a bath. I washed it off after 20 minutes.
Did you light a candle?
Sitting in the bath. I didn't light a candle, actually.
do that next time.
Yeah. But my skin looked nice after, like, maybe it might have just been a sort of visual placebo effect. I was like, oh, maybe I do have a youthful glow. I don't know. But I didn't see anything dramatic, and like it doesn't have much of a scent, which is good on the one hand because like those things can be irritating. But like I didn't find a lot of experience to it. You know, it wasn't like a mask either has to be effective and show immediate results to be worth it, in my opinion, or it needs to be a really luxurious experience to use it with like a beautiful scent and a beautiful feeling and like leaving your skin texture different. And this was just kind of like, I don't know, maybe it did something. Maybe if I used it a few times a week, I'd notice a difference, but.
Yeah. Do you know what? Experience to me is 50% of the point of good skincare, especially when it comes to masks. Because, you know, we can do skincare in a rush, and lots of us do. In fact, I do most mornings. I'm not, you know, I'm probably spending 10 minutes max with everything I'm doing before I'm out the door. But a mask is something you do not rush.
Right.
And it's something, like you say, it's a self-care thing. You take time to do. How long did you keep it on for?
20 minutes.
See, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's a long time. That's a big chunk out of your day. And if I'm not smelling something gorgeous, and especially if it's not drying on my, if it's not hardening and giving me that wonderful cracked mask spa thing, then I'm like, am I coming back to this? Probably not.
Yeah, there's just no reason to use it again. It's kind
this
of a bust.
This is really good feedback to Sol. I hope Solseuticals are listening. I'm sure they are.
I'm sure they are.
You know, because it's like, you've got to think about these things. It's not just about putting a snail mucin and turmeric into a tub and calling it a mask. You've got to think about what are your customers doing with this when they're putting it on.
Yeah, what's going to keep me coming back? And by that same token, so I had also vowed that I would return to the good old Origins charcoal mask this week, because that is a mask that I remember having immediate dramatic results.
Yes.
However, I was thwarted, but I did try out a replacement. So I, because a couple weeks ago, I had wanted to try this SoulCeuticals mask for our taping, and I ordered it online, as you remember, but I didn't receive it in time. So then I thought, okay, with the Origins mask, I'm not going to mess around. I'm going to go buy it in person. Unfortunately, I did wait till this weekend. So I went to the Sephora at the Americana in Glendale. They didn't have it. I went to the Nordstrom there. They didn't have it. And they were like, maybe Macy's has it. And at that point, though, I was like, I don't want to go all the way across the street to the gallery at Macy's. So I gave up. I'll just order it online and I'll talk about it on a future episode.
Uh-huh.
But I did get this Kiehl's mask that somebody at Nordstrom recommended, because I explained what I was looking for. This Kiehl's Rare Earth Deep Pore Cleansing Mask.
Ooh, let me see.
Yeah, so this is the kind of mask we're talking about that dries and sucks stuff out of your pores. So this, I used it last night, and I give it B+, A-. It's pretty good. I feel like I have a few minor blackheads when I look really close on my nose. Mm-hmm. This mask... It definitely, I used it and right away I could see it had kind of minimized my pores and definitely like done some cleanup, but it wasn't, I could still see some pores that looked a little clogged.
Right.
So I think if I use it a few times in a week, then I'm going to see if the results compound. So I'm going to use it a couple more times. Like it was pretty good, like an A-. Now I remember that Origins one just... like making your pores instantly invisible and just sucking every bit of debris out of every inch of your skin. But I need to test it again to be sure that's true.
Yeah. And you weren't able to get it.
Not in person. Yeah. I mean, maybe if I'd trekked over to Macy's, I guess my laziness kicked in at that point. And
I think I might have some upstairs. I'm sure I've got a tester upstairs. But anyway, circling back to Kiehl's for a second, this is what I want from... when I'm talking about packaging, you know, it says intensively purifies to minimize pores, and it's made with Amazonian white clay. Now, I don't know what makes a white clay Amazonian, and I don't really care.
Comes from the Amazon?
Yeah, I mean, okay, yes. Yeah. But like, I don't know why that makes it any better for my face, but I don't care. It sounds impressive.
Sounds great.
And it looks luxurious. It looks like a clay mask. It looks like, you know, in that, this is what we need from a mask. So, okay, so look.
It did something. I mean, it wasn't as transformative as I wanted, and I'm going to compare it to the Origins mask. I promise I will follow through on that, but it's a decent runner-up.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, you do more to your skin than the average person, so you're cleansing your skin, I personally think sufficiently.
Yeah.
That it probably doesn't need a mask. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do a mask, but maybe there's just not enough stuff in your face for the mask to suck out.
Maybe there's not. Yeah, that could be true. That could be true. Well, my other bit of homework that was a follow-up from last week is I did email the chemist at UC Riverside. We talked about a study that came out on the claims around hyaluronic acid. There were some chemists at UC Riverside who did a study debunking some of the claims about how hyaluronic acid holds, you know, 1,000 times its weight in water or whatever it was. And we wanted one of the researchers to come on the podcast to explain what we're supposed to take away from this study, right? Does it mean hyaluronic acid is worthless? Does it mean it's just not as amazing of a moisturizer as we thought? Like, why did they even do this? He got back to me midweek and he said that he would love to do it, but he has laryngitis.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. He's got back to it. Is this a first?
Someone I think this back is a first that somebody has gotten back to us for this podcast.
Wow. That we should pop open a bottle of champagne or something. Wow.
That is like a potential guest that we've emailed out of the blue. We were ignored by Dr. Brenner.
They were afraid of us.
Mm-hmm, they were afraid.
Well, they knew.
Dr. Michael Perung of UC Riverside is not afraid, but he did lose his voice. So We have not recorded anything, but I told him we can do it in the coming week. So hopefully he'll be recovered. And hopefully next week we can have a little conversation to play with him where he will talk about his research. About yeah, me too.
Wow, great
job. A chemist,
job.
Right? A real live chemist. That'll be interesting.
Yes. Fabulous.
So, okay, speaking of chemists, one more order of business.
Right.
Where do I begin with this? I guess I'll start with the product part of this. Patrick, I've been down one of my sunscreen rabbit holes again this week. Okay. I feel like we could do this whole podcast about sunscreen.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I've talked on previous episodes about how Sam kind of opened my mind to chemical sunscreens. So yes. I had had these ideas about them that weren't true. And I decided, oh, I'm ignoring this whole world of sunscreen technology. And then that kind of in turn sent me down like a whole research rabbit hole. And I am just sort of, my head is exploding with sunscreen information and concern, et cetera. But anyway, to give this, this is going somewhere. So one of the things that I decided I needed in the last week is, you know, I do a lot of outdoor exercise. Like I'll go running, I'll go hiking. A lot of my favorite daily sunblocks, which are mostly mineral based, are not sweatproof or waterproof. So I have here my Dr. Dennis Gross Lightweight Wrinkle Defense sunblock, which I liked. Yeah. In a nice jaunty bright yellow little tube.
SPF 30.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good sunblock for every day though, but it's not sweatproof. It's not waterproof. There's also this one, which I use sometimes for active stuff. MD Solar Sciences Mineral Moisture Defense, SPF 50. It says it's water resistant for up to 80 minutes, but I don't fully trust it. It's just like something about the way it sits on the skin. I feel like when I sweat, I can just see it like dripping off me. I don't know. It doesn't say sweatproof. So anyway, I ended up buying just at CVS, just for running and hiking, this Neutrogena Age Shield Face Sunscreen. Broad spectrum 70. It is a chemical sunscreen. So the active ingredients are AVO, benzone, and a few other ingredients. And it has a little label on here that says Helioplex. Now, when I was going down a sunscreen rabbit hole, I read this and now I cannot find the source again. So I wish I could like quote it exactly. But I was reading some New York Times article about sunscreens and it had a line, I swear to God, it had a line in it saying Neutrogena's Helioplex sunscreen or Helioplex formula has been shown to still have like 80% of its sun protective powers after 6 hours out in the sun.
Well, that's
in tests.
Quite a bold claim.
That is a bold claim. And it was from a news source. Like it was a news story about sunscreens. And so Helioplex, I guess, part of my research, is like some sort of catch-all phrase for a specific combination of chemicals with, you know, avobenzone being sort of the key one, but then there's like other chemicals that you have to mix it with in certain proportions in order to preserve its stability once you actually put it on your skin. So I guess allegedly Neutrogena's formula for this Helioplex, you know, combination of chemicals is pretty stable and pretty good. Yeah, so I went with this. It's water resistant. It is sweatproof. I have read that it's long-lasting, and it's a drugstore brand, but, like, I don't know. There's part of me that's like, you know, I've always sort of poo-pooed the Neutrogenas of the world, but maybe as a sports sunblock, maybe this is the way you want to go.
So, like, how was it on your face?
It's good. I mean, I like the texture. It's not really moisturizing, so if I was going to use it, you know, outside of like running and stuff, I would probably put a little moisturizer underneath it. It doesn't leave any cast because it's not a mineral sunblock. It has a very slight sunblock smell, which I don't like, that chemical sunblock smell. I really dislike that. So it's a decent texture. However, this leads me into, there is also new news about a new lawsuit. I saw this in Bloomberg, I think it's Bloomberg Law did an article this past week about a new lawsuit filed against Johnson & Johnson, which owns Neutrogena, over Neutrogena's Clean and Clear line of products, acne products.
Uh-huh.
And it the lawsuit claims that these products contain high levels of a cancer-causing chemical.
No.
And that Johnson & Johnson should be warning consumers about it, and that it, and that the products are, you know, they're meant to be used over and over because they're acne treatments, so people are going to be using them a couple of times a day for a long period of time, and that this exposes, the lawsuit alleges that this exposes people to unacceptably high amounts of cancer risk, and you know, these chemicals that have been linked to cancer. Now, this is terrifying sounding. I try not to jump to conclusions when a lawsuit is filed, because we all know that anyone can say anything in a lawsuit, and that it's also extremely hard to prove causation when it comes to cancer. And I don't know, I haven't done a deep enough dive to know if they're, like, you know, if they're filing the suit coming to with, you know, people who are claiming that they have developed diseases as a result of using this product. I think it is just a more like a consumer warning kind of a case, where they're saying, oh, they didn't label it properly, and they're not warning consumers about this risk that they should be. I don't think the lawsuit is saying, oh, it has caused this disease in these specific people. So I do think you have to take these things with a grain of salt, because there have been in the past other lawsuits similar to this that have ultimately just been kicked out of court because they couldn't show a causation, you know?
Right.
But it's scary.
It really is.
And now I'm like, should I throw this Neutrogena sunblock in the garbage? Even though this is a different product, this isn't their acne stuff. But like, it still freaks me out.
Yeah, it does. And it's one of these things. It's like if we drank or ate something with the ingredients that are on the back of a skincare product, you know, we'd be running for the hills. And again, I'm a garden variety skincare consumer. You know, if it's been reviewed online as good.
Me too.
I'm like, oh, I'll try that. I'll put that on my face. I can't spell half of the things that are on the ingredients, let alone know what they are. And we're all just blindly trusting the scientists and the people that make the products. And we just don't know what's in this stuff.
I know. And here's the thing, like, the deeper down the rabbit hole I go, then I feel like the less I know and the more confused I am and the more freaked out I am. Like, I don't feel like knowledge is power in this arena.
No, it makes, like, you realize how little you do know.
How little you know. And here's the other thing. Like, we've heard these kind of scary claims before about sunscreens is one, you know, this lawsuit that's new isn't about sunscreen, but we've heard these things before about certain chemicals that are in some chemical-based sunscreens, about how there are specific chemicals that apparently build up in your bloodstream over time if you're using these products. Sounds terrifying, right? Yeah. But also, if you go down the rabbit hole of reading about this, no one actually seems to know what the health consequences are of it building up in your bloodstream, if anything. So then you're like, well, wait, okay, it sounds bad, but should I be freaking out? And then you also find out, well, this is just an ingredient that they've studied. There's a million topical things that we put on our bodies, like body creams and perfumes and all sorts of lotions, and they just haven't studied those. So maybe those are building up in our bloodstream too. We just don't know. Gosh. There's just more scrutiny on sunblock. So it's like, you're just like, geez, I don't know what to make of any of this.
Yeah, and it's the wild,
I don't know. And then, like, I mean, my natural inclination, like a lot of people, is to be more skeptical of the brands like Neutrogena, right, that are owned by these giant corporations like Johnson & Johnson. You're like, oh, you know, because they have had a lot of consumer lawsuits over the years over various products. I mean, some have not succeeded in court, but there was like a talcum powder lawsuit, I think, that involved Johnson & Johnson. I mean,
yes, I've read about that one.
But then I'm like, on the other hand, these brands are so ubiquitous. More people are using them. Why do we trust the indie brands more? I mean, maybe they're just not widely used enough to get the same kind of scrutiny or have the same kind of widespread effects. Like, I don't know. You know, I was reminded this week that, sounds like a tangent, but it's kind of connected, that this girl I went to high school with, I didn't know her well, but she was very, very smart, like a brilliant person. And she went on for a while to work as a chemist for Neutrogena. And I was reminded of that this past week, and I thought, well, you know, for all my skepticism, on the other hand, maybe brands like Neutrogena are more cutting edge, because, like, they're the ones with the money to hire these, you know, really smart scientists and chemists. Like, I don't think that some of these little more indie brands have, like, full-time chemists.
Yeah, and where are they making their products?
Yeah, so just, who knows? I don't know who to trust. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I sound insane because I am feeling a little insane.
No, but it's totally understandable. When you scratch beneath the surface, it can be scary what you find, you know. I don't know. I just look, I was gonna say, as long as my face looks good, I don't really care. No, and I do, obviously I do care, and I don't want my health to suffer as a result. And so far it hasn't, and I've been putting stuff in my face for years. I mean, we're talking decades. So, you know, so far so good, but it's definitely something to be wary of.
It is.
Can we just, I just want to end on a high.
Yes, let's end on a high.
I just want a slight gear change, but I just want to say thank you, Anna, because you gave me a gift this morning.
I did.
And I actually could tear up at how grateful I am. Anna has gifted me a Goop product, and we're not talking good, clean Goop available from Target. We're talking Goop Jeans Youth Boost Peptide Serum. I don't know what the RRP is, but I know it's not cheap. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I can't wait to put it on. I mean, I'm already putting on two serums a day as it is. But maybe I'll pause those because when Goop's in my routine, that's the only one that I'm going to be, you know, prioritizing.
Mm-hmm. It's the one developed with the plastic surgeon, Dr. Julius Few, who we've talked about Few a few times.
Yes, we have. And actually, can I just say, where is, you know, Goop is not in the, Goop should be in the Oscars goodie bag.
Yes.
Like, but
duh.
Like, it's the perfect.
Created by an Oscar winner.
Exactly. Like, the whole goodie bag should be sponsored by Goop.
Genius.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Genius.
An Oscar goodie bag just with Goop in.
That's beneath Gwyneth, though. She already has an Oscar.
That's the thing. They probably approached her, and you're right. She's probably like, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't need the Oscars.
Yeah, I have a skincare empire.
Mm-hmm. And an Oscar.
I'm bigger than the Oscars.
Totally.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to thank you very much for your kind gift, and I will be reporting back as to how it works on my face, but I'm sure it's going to work wonders.
Yes, I want to see the results. Well, on that high.
Wow, we really chewed the fat today.
Yeah, we did. I know. All right, next week, origins and hopefully a conversation with a chemist.
Yes, and hopefully I'll look 10 years younger because I'm using Goop jeans.
So much to look forward to. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.